Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be looking at a number of passages. It's a topical message I have entitled, Stepping Over the Edge. Stepping Over the Edge. Perhaps you remember back years ago, they started to include little safety devices in cars, mechanisms that would help us to drive more safely. I can remember back in the, late 60s, early 70s, Buick came out with something they called the speed alarm. Do you remember that? It was a little hand. You could turn a button that's up on your speedometer, and it would put the little arm, whatever speed you wanted to go. It wasn't a cruise control. It was an alarm. If you got over that speed, the buzzer went off, and you would know you were going too fast. There were a time, probably still are, these little spring-covered wires that protrude out of the fenders down close to the tires. Have you seen those? Looks like whiskers on your car if you see them coming down the road. And the idea is if you get close to the curb, rather than messing up your white walls, when everybody put white walls, you would hear that hit the curb and it would alert you that you're getting close. Don't get any closer. Now cars, of course, have lights in the dash to tell us that the engine's getting too hot and maybe that we're getting too hot if your climate control's not set just right. More recently, cars have been able to sense dangerous situations and apply the brakes without your help and tighten up the safety belts. I don't know if I like that or not. Might get tighter than I like, I thought, but anyway, there are all sorts of things. Human nature has its own little limit switches, own little safety devices, and all of us have those. Our bodies will remind us in certain situations, that's far enough, that's fast enough. How many kids have you heard that were out racing on the roads at night and drove faster, obviously, than they felt comfortable with? They probably got up to a certain speed and said, this is all I want to do, but they were, because of peer pressure, pushed a little bit further and had an accident. Some perhaps were killed. Heights. You're on a 36-foot extension ladder, and you're right up at the top of that. Now, the steps are no further apart than they are down there at 10 feet off the ground, but now you're 36 feet, and something inside says, that's high enough. I'm not going any higher. You ever heard anybody say that? No more. So there are safety things built in. I've understood that when you go to boot camp in the service, that they tell the soldiers to go beyond their limits, and they try to get them to do that and trust themselves. Pain. Pain is a wonderful blessing from the Lord, isn't it? You say, blessing? Yeah, it is a blessing because it tells us to stop. But some people learn to do the mind over matter thing, and they go beyond the limits of what their body can endure. I have seen people arm wrestling before. Big men with very strong arms, and they're both straining really hard until one of them's arm breaks. It's a terrible thing to see. Their arm breaks. But they had pain before. They knew that was probably all they could do. They were right at their limits. Children think that pain is too much sometimes, and they sort of explode emotionally. I can remember raising our two children, and I don't remember which or if it were both, but they would have some little something would happen, a mashed finger or a cut or something got in their eyes, and they were crying. They were boo-hooing really loud, and I couldn't get them to calm down. And so I got really loud too, and I said, stop crying! And they stopped. It startled them. And I said to them then, does it really hurt that bad? And they said, no, not too bad. But they were warned by their little limit switches that it had gotten bad all of a sudden. Financial obligations. How often do you see people living above their means? Well, something inside said, you need to stop spending. But they didn't. They said no to those things, sort of turned off the alarm. As a rule, it's best to listen when warning signals in our minds say that's enough. In the physical realm, the mental realm, the financial realm, the social limitations, all of those things. But what I'd like to talk to you about tonight is an exception to the rule. A time when we need to suppress the alarm. We need to go beyond what we feel like are our present limits, and that would be in the spiritual realm. We need to be moving forward, onward, and upward for Christ. You need to be becoming more like Christ all the time. But there are little mechanisms built in our human nature that say, if you go any further, you're not going to have fun anymore. You're going to have to give up something that you really like or that you really feel like is okay. If you go further, you're going to fail. If you go further, it's only a whim. You're going to get over it, and then it's going to be embarrassing. If you go further, others will think you're just showing off. If you go further, it's going to cost you too much time. We have these little limit switches, and they're going off in our human nature because our human nature doesn't want us to be like Christ. Our human nature wants it wants to worship itself. It wants to follow its own dictates, our flesh. In the spiritual realm, this built-in human nature warning system needs to be suppressed. If I go back to the car illustration, remember when you opened the door and the buzzer went off because the doors were open? I was a mechanic for several years, and I can remember laying with my back in the floorboard, looking up under the dash, and that crazy buzzer's buzzing. Do you ever have that issue? It was so annoying. It's loud when you get your head up there really close to it, but you could make it stop. Do you remember how to make the buzzer stop buzzing? Push the little button in on the door. Had a little mechanical button, and you could hold the button in, and it was totally quiet. Oh, it was great. We need to learn how to push the button in. We need to know how to silence the alarm when our human nature, when something about our being, our character says, don't go there spiritually. Someplace that the Lord would be pleased if we go, but our human nature says no. We need to be able to silence the alarm that says, you're going to fail. It's only a whim. People are not going to like you if you do that. It's going to take too much time. You're likely to be embarrassed over this. We need to say no to those type of thoughts. Where do you stand in your Christian growth? Becoming more like Christ. Now, I know you've started down the path. Everybody here professes faith in Christ. I know that. But where are you in becoming more like Christ? What's the last change that you can remember in your life? The last change. So I don't know if I can remember a change. Well, then I hope you're encouraged to move forward tonight. Onward and upward, becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't measure up yet, right? We're not as good as Christ yet. We're not holy. Oh, we try, but we mess up and we have issues in life. We have things that we like that we should probably not like. And we have things that we don't like that we should probably love. And become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you stand in your Christian growth? Now, I'll tell you this. Maybe you've lived long enough to know. You'd never give up anything for the Lord that you feel like He's indebted to you. Because you can't outgive God. You give up something. You start something because you believe the Lord wants you to do that. You lay aside something that you really like and you say, I'm going to do this because I know the Lord would be pleased with it. And you won't outgive God. It will be better for you. You'll have more happiness, more peace, and more joy in your life. But where are you right now in growth? Are you taking steps, incremental, small steps? I think a lot of Christians in our day, not saying you are, I think a lot of Christians are Sunday Christians. They don't think about the Lord a lot during the week. Some are Sunday, mealtime, and bedtime Christians. And in varying degrees, everybody's somewhere on that progression, becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you doing in the area of giving? Giving, oh, we give our offerings at church. I know, but that's not all the giving we ought to do, right? When we see people in need, we ought to give. We ought to give to people sometimes when they're not in need, just as a gesture of thanks. We ought to be giving people. How about prayer? Prayer. This is one that I struggle with, just quite honestly. It's to have good prayer times. Oh, I have prayer times, but sometimes they're not good prayer times. You know what I mean? Good prayer times? Where you really feel like you connect? And we need to pray until we have a good prayer time. We need to spend the time with the Lord and have a great prayer time. How about faithfulness? Faithfulness, well, you're here tonight, huh? You're here. Are you faithful in reading your Bible? Faithfulness to the Lord in your motive, in your heart, your thought life. How about family time? How about personal devotions? And what about holiness in your life? Could you be described as holy? You see, all of these things are characteristics of a Christian who's maturing. All of these things are a part of the mix. They're a part of the recipe that makes us what we ought to be in Christ. We ought to exercise faith, believing His promises, believing the things that He has said. If your spiritual growth is stagnant and something inside of you says, you're all right. No, don't make that commitment right now. If there's those little warnings from the flesh, from the inside that says, don't go further, you need to learn to silence and suppress that and move beyond and try great things for the Lord. You know, you sort of feel like, okay, I'm where I can be right now. Well, I'm going to ask you to step over the edge. Go over the edge. Step out in the fog. Remember the little illustration this past Sunday. Step into the fog. God wants us to move forward for Him. I want to give you 3 points tonight, several verses, but just 3 points about how things that would help you to kind of go past your limit, to go get out of the stagnation, pull yourself up and take a couple of steps in your spiritual walk. The first one is you need to understand the will of the Lord. Understand the will of the Lord. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians in verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see the word wherefore, which means we need to look before it and see what He's just said. Verse 15 says, in light of God's command to, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now we need to walk circumspectly, we need to be wise, and we need to redeem the time. And He says, in light of that, I want you not to be unwise. Here in verse 17, the word unwise could be translated foolish. I don't want you to be foolish. We need to be circumspect. We need to be wise. We need to redeem the time. The days are evil, so don't be foolish about this. Our enemy is the world. Is that right? The world is our enemy. The flesh and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They'll tempt us. Our enemy would tempt us to be foolish, to act foolishly. The world says, well, it wouldn't hurt anybody for you to watch that show. I mean, you're in the privacy of your own home. That's foolishness, isn't it? To watch something you ought not watch just because you're in the privacy of your own home, sitting in front of your tube, your computer, or your television, whatever it might be. The music that you listen to. The flesh would tell you, well, it may not be church music, but I'm not in church. Well, but we need to ask the question, is it pleasing to the Lord? Because you are His church, you see. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't need to be foolish about this. We need to understand. We need to be wise about this. Our flesh might say, God would not ask us to miss out on this opportunity to have this great enjoyment, this great pleasure. Well, He might. He might, depending on what that great pleasure is. If God doesn't want you to do this, He's strong enough to show you that you shouldn't. I've had people tell me that before. If God doesn't want you to do that, He's strong enough to tell you not, or to show you that you shouldn't. And I think, well, He's told us in His Word what we should or shouldn't do. We don't need Him to write it in the sky or somehow take control of the circumstances. Don't be foolish about this. Satan might repeat the question that he asked Eve. Hath God said, you know, is this wrong? I don't see anything in the Bible about it. You know, we kind of have that way to justify ourselves and what we know because His Spirit and our spirit are in fellowship. What we know is wrong, somehow, sometimes we try to justify. Rather than acting foolishly when temptation comes, we should, according to this verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you know what the will of the Lord is? How can we understand? How can we find out the will of the Lord? Well, the Word of God is His will, isn't it? You could look back in this same chapter, in chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, be followers of God. Be followers, imitating God in the person of Jesus Christ. Act like Jesus acted. It says in verse 2 that we ought to walk in love. This is the will of God. Walk in love. Verse 3 says, let it, that is sin, not once be named among you. Verse 4 says that we ought to be thankful, giving thanksgiving. Verse 8 says, walk as children of light. Verse 14 says, wake up. Verse 16 says, redeem the times. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Husbands, in verse 25, should love their wife like Christ loved the church. That's God's way. And this is God's will. And there are many such passages where just in every verse you find something else that should be woven into the fabric of our life. The will of God. Without knowledge and understanding of the will of God, we're going to be playing the part of a fool. We're going to be doing the things that we ought not do if we don't know what we should do. And how will we know? We have to be in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to fall in love with the Word of God so that we can understand the will of God. Without knowledge and understanding of the will of God, we'll be destined to play the part of the fool. And you do not understand the will of God if what you're thinking contradicts the Word of God. If what you're thinking seems okay to me, if it contradicts the Word of God, then it's obviously not the will of God. And what good is it to know the will of God if we will not obey the Word of God? Do His will. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. So step number one, understand the will of God. Step number two is obey the Word of God. I want to ask you to look at another verse in Psalm 119, verse 9. If you know it, you don't need to turn there. It says, Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Can you tell me the rest? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. By taking heed to the word of God. We have to obey the word of God. We need to know the word of God and the will of God, and then we need to obey the word of God. Physically, let me ask you, would you like to live in a pig house? I mean a literal pig house. I mean a place where a farmer keeps a couple of pigs. Would you like to live there with the pigs? I was around pigs a little bit growing up. Wasn't my favorite place to be. They stink and they're dirty. And they like mud, don't they? It helps them to stay cool. The answer to that question is, for me, no, I don't want to be in a pig house. I don't want to be near a pig house if I can keep from it. Well, how about spiritually? Do we want to live in sin? You say, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, physically, we wouldn't live in a pig house. There is a pig house of sin for us believers, and we can be living in sin. We can be in a debauched situation, disobedient to the Lord. If not, if we don't despise that, if we do desire to live in the pig house of sin, then something's wrong. Because you remember, before we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we had this understanding about sin. Sin destroys. Sin reaps some benefits, but it's only pleasure for a season, and then you're just distraught. You're living with a plague of guilt, and also the results, the consequences of your sin. Oh, we understand about, don't we understand about sin? But we think maybe we can get away with the little ones, you know, the Christian ones, the ones that Christians do. Well, there are no Christian sins, and there's nothing about sin that pleases God. And there's nothing about sin that that's acceptable to God for the life of His children. Well, I know some people backslide. And other people, as I have told some folks this past week, other people, they call themselves Christians, but when they stand before the Lord, He'll say, I never knew you. They're satisfied in their sin. They don't want to be saved from their sin. They want to enjoy their sin now. Well, they're either backslidden or not saved, because Christians understand about sin and how destructive it is. When a Christian is disobedient, the spirit is grieved and the believer is miserable. If you don't get miserable in your sin, then something's wrong. Would you like to get out of the spiritual pig house? Obey the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Another verse you'll know, Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 89 of Psalm 119. And yet some people say that the Word of God is obsolete. It's old, the old book, you know, and it's not relevant anymore. I don't know about you. I have found the Word of God to be very relevant. Have you? It's very relevant. The questions that come up in my mind and the situations that I have to deal with in my life as a pastor, as a man, as whatever, as a family, the answer is in the Word of God, and it's sufficient. I find it sufficient. It's very relevant. And so somebody who says it's not relevant just doesn't understand. One day, everyone will stand before God, and they'll be judged. Everybody in the 21st and 22nd century, if we get there, will be judged by this old book, by what's written in this old book. It's very relevant. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you were going somewhere and you kind of felt like, somebody felt like you were lost, but you said, no, I take out my map and I put my end of my pen right here. Right there is where I am. And he says, well, you're right. You're right. Brothers and sisters, I don't know where you are spiritually, but you ought to be able to take your pen and go to the Bible and say, right there is where I am, as if it were a road map to our life. This is what I believe, right there. This is where I am in this situation. I'm right here where the Bible is. I'm in agreement with God on this, and I will obey. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 14. Paul's writing. He says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. You see it? So in God's way of thinking, if someone disobeys his word and they live in disobedience, he or she is not fit company for somebody who wants to obey. God says, separate yourself. Get away from them. It'll do two things. It would be good for you not to be influenced by that person who wants to do wrong. Just get away from them. We need to do that more today. Christians in the 21st century don't think much of separation, but it's biblical. The second thing it will do, it'll be good for them. They'll be ashamed of themselves, because their good friend, you, is not willing to fellowship with them while they're living in the pigsty. Brothers and sisters, we need to obey the Word of God. Romans 6:16, the last verse we'll look at here, and then we'll go to the third point. Can you tell me what the points are? If you want to step over the edge, here are some things that will help. You need to understand what? The will of God. You need to obey the Word of God. Here's another verse for that. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So God made us to be servants. He says, pick your master. We can serve sin. We can be the servants of sin. That's quite destructive and deadly. It's going to get you in trouble. We can serve, this says, obedience. Serve obedience unto righteousness. Did you ever consider being a slave to obedience? It's an interesting concept. A slave to obedience. You have to do what it says. You put yourself under the authority of the Word of God, and you have to do what it says. You're a slave to obedience. After you understand the will of God and you obey the Word of God, it'll make things easier to kind of step out where your eyes can't quite see and where your little safety switches say you don't want to go there, but God wants you there. It would help you, thirdly, if you would trust in the ways of God. If God says do it, it'll work. If God says do it in your marriage, it'll work. If God says do it in your financial planning, it will work. If God says do it in raising of your children, in helping your grandchildren, it will work. If God says do it for government, it will work. Because whatever God says works. The ways of God work. And God's word is sufficient for every situation that could possibly come up in your life. The principles and the precepts are here. You want to be successful? You want to please the Lord? You want to grow? Then you trust the ways of the Lord. They work. We live in a day now where in church and with many pastors and worship leaders, they believe that times have changed, they say. Times have changed. And you need to look back and say, yes, but God has not. And God's ways are perfect. His ways are perfect. Trust in the ways. Can you think of a verse that starts, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in his ways. Trust in his ways. Our own understanding, what seems reasonable to us, well, when our reasoning is not the same as God's, then we need to acquiesce. We need to give in. We need to follow His direction, not our own. Not our own understanding. Do you think there'll be situations that come up in life to where you see it this way, but as you look at the Word of God, you can't quite justify what you're thinking? It's actually pretty reasonable if you stop and think about it. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. That means that He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And he knows what's going to happen next year and for the rest of your life. God understands where you are. He's omniscient and He's omnipotent and He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Are we going to match our wit with God? Are we going to try to be His advisors? Romans 11. Oh, the depths of the riches of the depths. How does it go? I'll turn to it. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Are you going to be the counselor of God? No. Whatever He says is what we ought to do. Now, brothers and sisters, if we seriously will do that, if we'll trust the ways of the Lord, we're going to find out that His ways are not the same as ours. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 55. The ways of God and His thoughts are different than ours. And His ways are past finding out. And God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's using dumb people to get His things done. You say, Pastor, really? Yeah, really. He's using people that know they don't have it. And He's channeling His blessing through those individuals. The ways of God work because God empowers His ways. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Look at that. 1 Corinthians 1:27 is that verse I was just referring to. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Let's begin in verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing, to naught, things that are. Why? Next verse, tell me. So no flesh is going to glory in His presence. God did it differently on purpose. So then when it's all said and done, we can't take the glory because it didn't work the way we thought it would. God uses nothing to make things happen. And God uses the empty to make things happen. And the weak. We need to trust His ways. He's in control. It's in God's design. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. You see it there? Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that verse in Romans 11, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. I have a new product. I wanted to introduce it to you tonight. It's for your car. Okay, I have developed this formula that if I put it on your car, you will never need to wash your car again. Just you get out in the rain and it will look like it was polished after the rain. Okay, it'll dry without spots. Now, the only problem with this is I have to tell you that in applying this new formula to your car, I need to go over your whole car with sandpaper first, a real light sandpaper. Would that be okay? Well, probably you wouldn't let me do it. But what if I could show you 20 cars that have had this on there for 6 months and show you before and after the rain? On salty roads in the winter in Maine. You say, well, I've got my attention. What do you got here? And if I could show you enough of happy customers, which I cannot, by the way, if I could show you happy customers, you would say, okay, my ways would be proven. My formula would be proven. Has God proven His ways for us? Do we know what works? We do if we're watching. The ways of God, they've been on display since the beginning of time. And those who obey the Word of God, understand the will of God, obey the Word of God, and accept and trust in the ways of God, they've been blessed. We're so dumb, aren't we? Why don't we surrender to the Lord? And why don't we let Him have His way? Why don't we understand His will and obey His Word and trust in His way so that we can have that same blessing? Has Christian growth begun in you? Where are you right now? What's the next step? Now, you don't need to tell me. It doesn't matter to me. Except I could help you maybe. And if that's the case, then let's talk about it. But the next step, what do you need to do next? You know. What sin is it that you continually commit? What lack is there? Something you've put off knowing because you don't know if you want to know. What is the next step in your Christian walk? Will you dare to step over the edge? Take a step in faith when everything about your flesh and everything about this world and everything that the devil says would lead you to believe this is not going to be pretty. Would you trust God? Would you understand His will? Will I obey His word? And do we trust His ways? I mean, really. We need to grow, don't we? We need to grow in our faith. I hope this can be helpful. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share these thoughts tonight. I pray that You would bless them. Lord, help us that we might understand Your will. We know that we'll find it in Your word, and Your Spirit will never speak to us contrary to Your word. Lord, we can know Your will. Help us to obey once we know. When You give a command, Lord, and we see it in Your word, help us to stop looking over it. Help us not to push it out. Help us to deal with it. And Father, I pray that we would, even from our own experience, be able to trust in Your ways. You've never failed us. We failed ourselves. Our friends have failed us. Lord, we've been failed by people we thought could never be. But you've been so faithful. And your ways have always been a blessing to us, Lord. Teach us to walk in your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.